Thanks for the invite and for the opportunity to talk here. What was this? Okay. So, as the title already suggests, this talk is concerned with Hitchin systems. These are some particularly nice geometric integrable systems. And just to set up, I want to explain what this actually means. So we look at some compact Riemann surface a connected semi-simple algebraic group. And at the moduli space of G bundles on X, where for simplicity we can think about really something like regularly stable bundles, just to be able to think of M as really a complex manifold or a variety, but it is not necessary to do this in this setting. Just makes thinking about these objects a bit easier. And then it's a rather well-known fact that the tangent space to a bundle in this moduli space can be expressed as the first cohomology group of the adjoint of the bundle, where this is the Lie algebra bundle associated to the G bundle P via the adjoint action on our Lie algebra. And how you can think of this is that we, in like an infinitesimal neighborhood of our bundle P, we want to, this adjoint bundle kind of describes the infinitesimal gauge or automorphisms of this bundle, and to get something non-trivial, we want to have something where local sections of this bundle do not glue together to something global to get some non-trivial, infinitesimally closed bundles. So using this description, we can also describe its dual, so the cotangent fiber, which is now the dual to the tangent space, using Serre duality. This is then given by such a simple formula, whereby the dual of the adjoint bundle, since we are working in a semi-simple setting, can always be identified with its dual using the Killing form, so we can ignore the star here. And if we now would consider something like a homogeneous polynomial on G, say, of degree D, we could apply this fiber-wise and get a global section of D-th product of one forms. And using this construction, we can construct from polynomials these kind of sections and use the following fact. That it is known the polynomial functions on the Lie algebra G, maybe I should have wrote it here, so G, it's the Lie algebra of our group G. This is a polynomial ring generated in elements up to the rank of the Lie algebra itself, which are all homogeneous of some degrees pi. So applying this construction to these L polynomials, we obtain a fibration of our cotangent space by applying first this map to all of our polynomials. And then we have something some non-varying affine space here. So we could now vary over our G bundle and obtain a fibration of the cotangent space to our manifold. And it turns out that this fibration can be used to define a very nice set of commuting involutive functions on this cotangent space, which will define the Hitchin integrable systems, and this is the so-called Hitchin fibration. Namely, it induces over this base space an embedding of functions on this base space into functions on the cotangent, where this is now, since it's just an affine space, generated by some particular functions. And now the main statement is, which is due to Hitchin, or this original construction is due to Hitchin, and some part of the proof was completed by Faltings, that these Hamiltonians on the phase space T star M define something what is called an algebraically complete integrable system. More precisely, the dimension of our base space turns out to be the dimension of our space M. So this cotangent space is of twice the dimension of these n elements. Furthermore, these n elements Poisson commute with each other and are independent. And in this way, one produces a classical integrable system on the phase space T star n. But these involutive condition would first be just what is known as a Liouville integrability. But it turns out that the appropriate complex analog of this is really true, that this is something what is called an algebraically completely integrable system. And this is the name giving Hitchin system. And throughout the time, this pretty nice example of an integrable system has seen a lot of study and a lot of adjustments. For example, one could also look at a finite set of points in our Riemann surface and look at something like a pointed version of the Hitchin systems, where we would now look at the moduli space of G bundles with trivializations at S at the points. And then one could go through this apparatus again with slight adjustments. One would get that here we would need to allow simple poles in our differential forms and so on. But essentially, we still get commuting Hamiltonian. What? Trivializations of these G bundles at the points PA.
So, not harmonic
No, but this is also possible. One can also choose parabolic structures. One could choose reductions to Borel groups. There are many variants of these kind of versions. What one could also look now at something like, maybe I use another color. Something like formal trivializations. Then one is in infinite dimensional setting, but there also one could do reductions. So there's a lot of variations you could add to this construction. And mathematically, I would even like to know.
What kind of factor is it? Trivialization mean?
We fix an isomorphism of the fiber with G. Then these kind of adjustments have to be done, but you can still, I mean, these cotangent spaces will then be really at P1 forms with where you allow poles at the P points, at the endpoints. But you still have such a description, and you can still get something like if you apply a homogeneous polynomial, you get poles in your forms. This is the general setup, and what I now like to look at is essentially there is a very classic approach to integrable systems called the air matrix method. And I would want to look at the Hitchin systems under the lens of the air matrix method. But for a short recap, what does it mean? What is this air matrix method? Well, roughly speaking, if we look at a classical integrable system, a classical mechanical system with Hamiltonian Ha, and the equations of motion turn out to be representable in a by a Lex pair, which means that we have some pair of functions on our phase space with values in a Lie algebra G. Then one automatically gets from invariant polynomials, constants of motions, and the air matrix method gives a condition when these constants of motions are in involution between each other. Namely, and under then an additional assumption of independence of these quantities, we would get the first step towards integrability. And the precise statement is that these are in involution if we have some G tensor G valued function on our phase space such that the Poisson bracket or the tensor Poisson bracket of our Lex matrix, which we can think of just as taking Poisson brackets between the coefficients, satisfies relations with our R matrix. And this R is then the R matrix of this system. Or one R matrix, because this is not unique in any way. So in this sense, one can use this R matrix method to construct integrable systems. And the basic question in this talk is, what is actually the R matrix system of these very nice geometric integrable system, namely this Hitchin system?
General results when R matrix exists for an integrable system?
When they exist, I don't think so. So I think if you have something like linear Poisson structures, they can be under certain circumstances, you can kind of do constructions for these R matrices explicitly. But in general, it feels more like. So there is this precise statement by that one really gets under certain conditions this equivalence of the existence of an R matrix, but this construction looks like super implicit. So I'm not sure how feasible this is really in practical analysis. So what I know more is that you kind of have either particularly nice R matrices of a system, or you start with an R matrix and you can construct integrable systems from them. And before maybe passing to the general Hitchin case, one short example of to illustrate this R matrix method is the so-called classical Gordon models. We look at the Casimir element of our Lie algebra. Still thinking everything is semi-simple. Then it turns out one can write down commuting Hamiltonians on the end we choose points in our complex plane, then one can construct commuting Hamiltonians. On the product of the dual of our Lie algebra in the following way. One can consider these elements as functions on the product of the dual of our Lie algebra, and they turn out to be commuting with respect to the usual linear Poisson structure on this space. And this system turns out to have a particularly nice Lex representation given by essentially an R matrix, namely an R matrix that depends on some additional spectral parameters, which turns out to be the standard case.
What is M?
I think it's now blocked by the. Maybe I would write it next.
No, what like it manifold? You said that it's an example of something which was.
Yes. So in general, these kind of constructions on from an R matrix to get an integrable system, one first starts with some very degenerate Poisson space. Namely, for example, for every Lie algebra, the dual carries the natural Lie Poisson structure, which is a very degenerate Poisson structure, but it is a Poisson structure. And then one restricts to the symplectic leaves of this Poisson structure to obtain proper integrable models. Where this is something which also would be done here in this general scheme. But to write down what kind of Hamiltonians and stuff we look at, we can really first write down everything on our degenerate Poisson manifold. And actually, this kind of example, it can be generalized to other R matrices if one adds some regular terms here.
Is integrability shown with using the common on the left?
Yes.
This is not okay for that.
Yes, yes. This is one of the cases where one can illustrate this kind of R matrix structure in a particularly way. And one can use here also add some regular terms and under certain conditions, namely something like the classical Young-Baxter equation, one can still obtain integrability in the same way if one looks at these kind of deformed versions of the original R matrix.
Like some diagonal.
Really a series in lambda and mu, but without poles. So something in. Oops. The formal variables lambda and mu, but no poles.
Are there nice solutions?
Yeah, there are a lot of them. So for example, under additional assumption of skew symmetry, what you get there is precisely solutions of the classical Young-Baxter equation. And there is this kind of well-known result by Bellavin and Drinfeld that you have three classes of solutions, and they are very well understood. So they're like trigonometric, elliptic, and rational solutions to this equation. And all of them give particular examples of classical integrable systems. And how you can think about this particular example is essentially we are looking at a Riemann sphere with n punctures, and this is kind of the genus zero analog to a punctured Hitchin system. And we would like to do now the same or find some R matrix in a similar vein for our Hitchin system, and the main tool. So the construction is suggested by constructions coming from conformal field theory. And the main tool is the loop group uniformization of the moduli space of G bundles. So let me shortly recall what this actually means. So if we start with any G bundle P, or maybe let us first go other way around. If we choose a point small p on our compact Riemann surface X, then we can look at two open subsets on our X. First, the affine curve, which we obtain by puncturing our curve in P, and the formal disk, let's say this is formal coordinate T, and the formal disk around the point. And then living inside both of them is just the punctured formal disk. So this is punctured affine curve, and this is the punctured disk. And one can construct G bundles by starting here with a trivial bundle on our affine part, trivial bundle on our formal disk, and gluing them together on our punctured formal disk with some with some G-valued function on the punctured formal disk. While these functions on our punctured formal disk, they are they form the formal loop group of our group G. So in this way, we see we can construct from GT elements in our moduli space M but these are under many conditions isomorphic out to each other. Especially, we could here act by g-valued functions on the punctured affine curve to obtain a isomorphic bundle. Similarly, here we can do this with functions on our formal disk. So especially this map factors as over some double coset by these two gauge transformations on the disk and on the affine part of the curve.
Sorry, your M is still moduli Higgs bundles? Or
this is all just bundles, not Higgs bundles.
Maybe you just use a different notation.
So maybe. Okay. Let's then switch to Bungee. Now it turns out that on this affine part and on this formal part of the curve, all G bundles are trivializable. So this gives really a bijection between this double cosets and the bundles of over our group G. And it turns out that this isomorphism can also be made of a geometric sense if one passes to the language of stacks. And this is what is known as the loop group uniformization of the moduli space of G bundles. We interpret it, or we identify it, as a double coset of loop groups, which makes explicit work with these kind of objects easier. And in the context of stacks, we think of these infinite dimensional objects here in the category of int affine, what is called int affine algebraic groups. And now,
can I ask you, when you want to input this trivialization, move this trivialization point around, is there like a nice double quotient?
If you now begin to move the point, you mean?
I mean, if like you want to include, say, like a point where the bundle is trivial, and move this point around.
I mean, you can include the action of moving the point around by considering actions of the Virasoro algebra. And considering, this means then considering kind of also the moduli space of punctured curves below this, the moduli space of curves and bundles. And then you have some kind of like relative version of this. And there you can then move points.
You mean you include the local parameter in the point, yeah?
Yes, yes, this is then.
It changes the complex structure.
Yeah, yes, precisely. Okay, and now with this setup, we can pass to the actual construction. Namely, we want to now use this identification of our moduli space of bundles to construct an air matrix for the Hitchin system, which lives on the cotangent of this space. And the first idea how to construct this air matrix is to assume first that our air matrix will be at least pointwise on our phase space, again, of the standard form we have already encountered in the genus zero analog. Yeah, let's write S.
So what
Yeah, G is the Lie algebra of G. And G. No, no, here, this G, this does not have a T. The T lives like inside this lambda and mu parameters, essentially. I mean, from here on out, maybe it's better to use also like maybe T1, T2. Yes, and here in this setting, this is not false to think about this, that we would have like two of the copies of the disk, and we have chosen the coordinates. One is in the one disk, one in the other. And it turns out that these formal standard form expressions, they are in bijection with subspaces or subspace splittings of the loop Lie algebra. Namely, one gets a bijection of this sort by developing this R in, say, its first coordinate. One can also do this in the second. Over the basis bi and over all powers of T1. So this is the Taylor expansion in T1 equals to zero.
Do you mean arbitrary splittings, or because you probably impose Young-Buck's theorem on the left-hand side.
This will come later. But first, you can really first do this with arbitrary splittings of the right-hand side form when we don't impose any conditions on R. Namely, yes, splitting of as a vector space simply. Namely, one associates to this the span over all the tensor coefficients RKI. And how one can see that this is really a complementary space through the form of this diagonal pole, this RKI will always have a principal part of the form bi by z minus k by t minus k minus 1 plus some regular part coming from s. And for every such vector space splittings, this vector space VR has unique elements of this form, and so you get this correspondence. And now what we would like to see is to get something like complementary vector spaces in our loop Lie algebra from our G bundles. But it turns out that the situation is not so simple. Because in general, G bundles do not provide complementary vector spaces. More precisely, if we take an element in our bund G and say we are in the dense open subset of regularly stable bundles, whereby I think I forgot to say last time, regularly stable means that the automorphisms of the bundle are supposed to be just the center of G. So these are just the very well-behaved bundles in our moduli space, very well-behaved points. Then the global cohomology of the adjoint bundle always vanishes. So in particular, remember that we chose here some set of points where from now on, just for simplicity of notations, I want to assume this is just a single point. This implies that if we now have a formal trivialization of P, that we can rewrite the vanishing of the cohomology in the sense that the sections over the punctured curve of our at P do not intersect with the T regular functions on the disk at P. Because functions, after these trivializations, we were able to write the formal trivialization of at P at the point P and identify it with GT. And functions which live in this intersection are precisely functions which are regular on the punctured curve, but are regular on the disk as well, so really define global regular functions. But since these are zero, this intersection has to be not thus, but has to be zero. Sorry. However, by serduality, one can actually also look at the first cohomology of this thing to see that, in general, I mean, this is already one half we would need to obtain such a vector space splitting. But the other half would be that we sum up with GT to everything. But this is, in general, not true. More precisely, we can actually identify the quotient of GT by the sum with the tangent space of our moduli, which is for genus greater or equal to 2, of course, not vanishing, because our moduli space is really some higher dimensional complex manifold. And so what we need to do, or the main idea of the construction, is we start with this space, and we somehow need to fill up the missing elements in this sum to get really something complementary to GT. And to find this missing elements in the sum, we use a section of this loop group uniformization to the loop group itself.
You want to find that this complement of GT,
yes,
which determines R.
Yes.
Find it by choosing some regular bundles on the curve.
Yeah, which we now imagine as like the phase space, an additional phase space variable of R. But to associate to this bundle now really an R matrix, we need to fill up sections to get really something complementary. And this kind of like filling up sections now follows from the following abstract argument. So in our bungee, let us say we have M, and let us just briefly underline this, the substack of regularly stable bundles. And note again, as in the beginning, on the set of these very nice bundles, we can ignore that we are working with stacks. We really have a coarse moduli space, so we can think in usual geometric terms. Then this bun G was a double quotient over our GT, so we kind of have something like a natural projection. And it turns out that since we are living on this very nice subset of regularly stable bundles, one can pass here to an étale covering, or let's say just an étale open neighborhood. Which provides a section to this quotient map in the sense that we find a map going here. Ah, no, it was just not erased. Sorry. So what does this mean? Essentially, we have find some open neighbor etal open neighborhood such that we can associate a family of G bundles to it, which are precisely the G bundles defined by this group element sigma of U. And this we did in some kind of uniform way. Now, since we are etal, we can identify the tangent of U with a tangent on the level of M. And after choosing coordinates, just to simplify the further notations, this tangent space can now be seen as this is, of course, not smart. I should write lambda. This tangent space can be spanned by, no, this is a multiplication in the group, but we take inverse. I will just explain when I finished it, finally not messing up writing this down. So what we can now think of is if we take the derivative here, we get elements in the translation of our Lie algebra. We can retranslate them back to our Lie algebra. Yes, and we obtain a representation first sigma of Bunn in the large G of T in the loop group. And now we have a representation of the tangents of our Bunns in the loop algebra G of T. And this family turns out to form precisely the complement we need to this vector space to obtain now really a complementary vector space.
Just for me, before I understand, sorry. So basically, what you're saying is that I chose this point P and then ask how can I change my bundle near this P in a way that genuinely give me a different bundle, and that the choice is given by this quotient.
Yeah. So that we really pick out group elements in a uniform way, which give us the bundle back.
What you wanted is you're making G of O a little bigger, so that it's a complement. What is this?
I want to make this a bit bigger to make it a.
So you wrote what you said here. So is there a geometric? So that space is just the on-orbis of the bundle away from the point.
Yeah.
And now what's the geometric meaning of this
thing? So
is there some pure thought you can say here? What like bundles with X, Y, Z property?
No, that I know of at least. So it was actually curious about this section property because I've seen it more used in an kind of ad hoc way by Laszlo, while he was studying the connection between VZV connections on conformal blocks and the Hitchin connection. And while comparing them, this was just convenient. And he only did it for these regular stable bundles. This is why I did this restriction. And I was curious about the general property of this, but I didn't really find anything more like general statement. So unfortunately, I cannot provide.
Okay.
what this means.
I got a related question. Like, if the orbit is in the familiar cases is the Jago kernel.
Mm-hmm.
So is there some kind of similar description of the orbit system?
Yes, one can also interpret, so I will let it now write down the air matrix, and one could twist the air matrix by some canonical element, and this will turn out to be also point-wise like a Jago kernel.
But there's something, it's not literally the Jago kernel.
Because,
you've done all this
stuff, yeah, I mean, the issue is essentially, you would like to have a Jago kernel be something in the box product of A omega, A, and then some diagonal singularity. But the issue is that like in the usual way where you have a Jago kernel, the cohomology by some Kuhnert argument vanishes. So you have something unique.
Yes.
But here we don't have something unique.
But like this thing you
in a sense, yes. So we kind of we picked out a uniform way over some entire neighborhood to make it choose here a unique element. This is kind of another way to view this kind of construction. But in general, you would have here some kind of like freedom of choice of Jago kernels, and this could be incoherent, and then you wouldn't get any identities out of it. Okay. So let me get then to the actual point, and maybe I can even.
So you
look at
a matrix.
Hmm?
So you look at a matrix, not data.
Yes, now I get an R matrix because let me maybe write it here. It turns now out that we can look at the vector space V of U, which is now. It depends now on our parameter u on this etale neighborhood, which is spanned by this direct sum, our prototype space we chose before. Maybe to make it readable. Shifted. And this V of U is now complementary to the Taylor series. And so these provide now, pointwise in U, an R matrix, which now also depends on this dynamic parameter U. And now I want to include the story about Young-Baxter equations. So in general, in this correspondence, the air matrices here always satisfy certain identities. Namely, one can look at this term. And one can see that because of this diagonal singularity, this will be always some series in three variables, but now regular. And this psi precisely controls the failure of V of R to be a subalgebra. So what this means is, if this is equals to 0, so R satisfies what is called the generalized classical Young-Baxter equation, then V of R is a subalgebra. But in our case, this V of U, it will not be a subalgebra, because we have something like a subalgebra, but we add something to it. And there we can jump out. But still, everything except like some finite dimensional controllable part is a subalgebra. And it turns out that in our case, this psi can be explicitly calculated. And it gives kind of like a dynamical sum. Where omega, this is a omega alpha is now an interpretation of the differential to our coordinate d lambda alpha, which is dual to the partial derivative, interpreted in an appropriate way in our loop algebra. And so this construction provides on an Etal neighborhood pointwise a dynamical version of a dynamical classical Young-Baxter classical R matrix. Although one has to be careful because this is not like the usual dynamical Young-Baxter equation. It's some kind of analog.
But you said classical integrable system are related to R matrices, not some modifications. Can you construct commuting Hamiltonians?
Yes, so this classical Young-Baxter equation in general, it's a sufficient condition, but it's not necessary. And other kinds of identities can also provide integrable systems, but you have to do some adjustments. So this is the generic case that happens if you have an additional phase space dependence. And now, it's precisely time to finish. The main theorem now is that this is really this R matrix really gives an R matrix of the Hitchin system.
Locally.
Etal locally, yes. So this is local statement. So namely, we can look at the Lex representation of our bun G, but maybe let me continue with the notation there of our regular least stable bundles, but additionally with a choice of formal parametrization, which we now just embed pointwise into differentials of our loop algebra. And this is a Lex matrix for the Hitchin system. In the setting of formal trivialization, satisfying this Poisson tensor identity with our constructed R matrix. So this construction of a point Etal local pointwise R matrix, it really provides the R matrix of our Hitchin system for a very obvious choice of lacks representation of the Hitchin system, and actually some remarks about the context. So other constructions of like an error matrix for a Hitchin system have existed, but they are always just local, and they depend always on some kind of uniformization theorem. So there have been, the earliest attempt was using the Skotsky uniformization, and then where there is one construction for GLN, which uses the Thurin parametrization of vector bundles. But this particular R matrix is actually an algebra-geometric version of a dynamical R matrix used by Giovanni Felder to describe the Knishnik's homologikov Bernard equations and the WZW connection. And already in this paper, which came out like in the end of the 90s, they conjectured some kind of connection to the R matrix structure of Hitchin system, which can be considered at the classical level of this conformal field theory. But the other constructions are really intransparent in giving this kind of connection. But this is really more or less the same construction. So this makes this link to conformal field theory clearer, so which I won't go into here. But
I mean, the theorem works for any cell. You can find it with the zetas of this one.
You mean here this? No, this in particular works in for every sigma. And then you can, of course, look at what happens if you change the sigma, then you get some kind of gauge relations. But yeah, this is dependent on the local parametrization.
And for multiplicative version of Hitchin, you got trigonometric R matrix or what?
I have not looked at this. But presumably one could get a look. I mean, it always depends a bit if you have some kind of these abstract splitting statements, which, again, I don't really know the generality of.
The multiplicative version is tricky because it's only splitting. You have a one-form curve. Mm. So whatever the difference is, it's a bit of a strange analogy. The multiplicative case is only splitting when the curve is a one-form. So if you want to get a nice integral system, you're probably going to be restricted to
But then the geometry is a bit simpler anyways. Then you will probably have some cohomologically vanishing sheaves again, and there you can really use the Jago kernel probably in an analog here to this.
The genus one case, you know, there's maybe a model that defaults on a complete curve. You just don't restrict to this special component.
Ah, so then you get the, like, the... so really with an H parameter, you get the dynamical version. Yeah, okay.
I don't know, there's a whole paper of Michael Kendrick-Gates, who looks at IRP's small matrices with the dynamical parameter.
Yeah, this is what I meant with Skotsky parametrization. This is the story, this is done using the Skotsky uniformization, and it's... it has the advantage that it somewhat is like more explicit because you have this kind of Poincaré series and it's more complex analytic. But the relation, and this is also something he stated in this paper clearly, the relation to Giovanni Felder's R matrix is unclear. So this relation to conformal field theory is blurred in this construction.
But the formulas are given in terms of some sigma functions, yes? There is so, as you said, this construction is fully like local so far. But is there like some like local constructions using sigma functions or something?
Not that I know of. So in until now, in higher genus, all constructions I've seen are local. So for quantization, yes, because now there is actually a formula of higher genus Godin Hamiltonians by Giovanni, which writes down the commuting Hamiltonians for some higher genus Godin system, and it's explicitly given in this R matrix. So you can write down the quantization really explicitly using this R matrix. This is why one of the motivations.
you get an insight on what that happens.
I mean, I would like to, but until now, not really. I mean, it feels like this gives some kind of more ad hoc quantization in the Bellison-Drinfeld sense of Hitchin's system for the punctured case. But what you can really do with this, I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, so one could try to do the same now as for genus zeros in this like Rechetichian Frenkel beta ansatz case, but I wouldn't be sure how feasible calculation. I mean, on usual Godot Hamiltonians, you can really.
Absolutely.
So I think of the genus zero analog really as Godot system.
Yeah, but then get out of Hitchin, that is valid in the principal series and the equations.
Yeah, this analogy is, but I mean, no, not precisely in this way. I mean, just. When there's for Godot models, there you can do this kind of beta ansatz, and you could now try.
So, there is generally an expression that think of the records being analogous to the functions. Perhaps I should ask if there is some kind of an L function or something. That's really matrix, which is well with a matrix and the fine.
But I just rather recently finished this, so I didn't really look into this so detailed.
It was what you're saying has something to do with the fact that there is kind of a bound G of a formal bound acting through this uniformization.
Yes, so this looks like. So I wonder if that's able to give insights on the definition of big operators that have been commuted to the Hamiltonian.
So I think this could be maybe then in this ital local setting. You had a question?
Yeah, so have you thought about just higher dimensional generalizations of this construction? Because I read this paper about homotopy-affine current algebras that attempts to construct a current algebra by the D2 instead of just the disk.
So at least I haven't thought about it, no.
I'm interested in hearing about what kind of integral systems that you get.
But in this higher dimensional case is do you have some kind of air matrix then there?
I don't know, but the affine current algebra is constructed in that case, but it's pretty decent. So
okay, so I at least haven't seen the setting yet. Maybe you could show me. Yeah.
Any other questions? If not, that's the same question.